All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, and welcome in, SportsMap 94.1. It is The Usual Suspects, as we do how we do when we do it, from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, the 3 to 4 o'clock hour, we simulcast like everybody else on the map as well. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. Covering a lot of ground today, having a lot of fun. It's a Way Back Wednesday. Therefore, if you're not familiar with the format, Way Back Wednesday means we pick a topic or a subject, and then we pick songs that used to be pre-2000. Now we've updated it to pre-2008. Today's topic or theme was songs we play at our funeral. Barry is up in hour number three. Cutting crew.
Yeah, you're still going to play it, though, because I only gave you seven.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's what's going to start happening, is that everybody's going to want to do the first and the third hour.
Well, I didn't plan that. I was just lazy today. So,
if we find a way to do something instead for like the start of hour number two, we could all just do seven.
True.
We could.
Because now hour one and three both just have seven. So
we can do like a listener vote does one song.
Let's not do that. That's a can of worms we don't
want
to go fishing with.
Well, like if whichever song gets the most votes, so it's not necessarily one person.
Well, then
winning.
You'd get it every week, and you don't participate.
You're going to do that? You're going to take care of a poll every week for
not
one
a
song?
Poll, but you can throw it out there like on the air, and I'm sure you'll get a bunch of tweets.
Nobody's listening.
Yeah, you're probably.
Hey Barry, I'm updating my calendar. Have you selected a date when we can roast Joel on air? I want to make sure I don't miss it. Nope.
You sent that?
Just a text. No.
We roasted him a little bit on his birthday.
Did we?
Kinda.
I don't remember that.
Sorry, Phil. I missed the cough button on that one. Sorry.
My bad. I don't remember that.
I don't remember what we said, but I'm pretty sure we...
Oh. 10% for takeout tips. Homeless guy can kiss my ass. My windshield is fine.
Is that a number, though? Is that a legit number? 10%?
That's what I do,
for takeout?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 10%.
But is that your number? Is that
Because if you're 20% when you're there and they're waiting on you, 10% I think is a fair. If you go and order, if you have $14 or $15, you tip $1.50. At least they got the stuff. They made sure your order was right. They got you silverware. They got you whatever special request you had. Because I'm sure Nick, he's a diva when he eats.
Actually, my orders are pretty simple.
Are they?
They're pretty simple.
They're just a lot.
So are my coffee orders.
Coffee orders. It takes you 15 seconds just to say the drink.
It does not.
Say it. What's the order?
Venti Americano, 5 equals, light water.
Light water?
Yeah, I want more soy milk.
You missed the half and half part.
You get diet water? I don't want to taste watery. I want to taste the shot.
Oh, like you don't
like
want
a lot of water.
Yeah. I thought you meant like diet water, like light beer.
Like diet water. Like a speed demon auctioneer for him because he wants to do it 15
seconds. Yeah, but you missed the half and half part. You missed the half and half part.
Water?
I don't use half and half.
What was it? It was something.
Soy milk.
Soy milk.
Can I get some diet
water? 5 equals. Okay. I say, hey, can I get a caramel frappuccino? Boom. Done.
Yeah.
Two seconds.
Can I get a grande mocha? That's my order. Grande mocha. That's it. Do you want the whip? Did I say I didn't want the whip? Just grande mocha. Just however you make it.
An a-hole, man.
I don't tell them that. I mean, I could, though, because you can watch them and they can't spit in it because I'm looking right at you, Brad.
That's true. You can complain at Starbucks, and you got them.
Not tipping takeout is rude and cheap. Thank you, other texters that agree with me and not
turning
Nick.
Turning on your wiper blades on a homeless guy isn't.
NASCAR Johnny said, nope, not tipping at takeout is a bigger jerk move. Sorry, Nick.
Dang.
Suck it, Nick.
And he's actually kind of a nice guy.
Yeah, see? Dang. I almost wrecked laughing at Nick's last song. Nick has my vote for once.
Yeah.
For once.
How am I doing on the vote?
I don't know.
You're asking that because you've seen it.
I honestly haven't. I bet you I might be losing.
I got to go look at the thing. While we're doing that, let's discuss this because somebody said, what's your views on Tucker and what he can contribute to the Astros?
Okay.
So I'll go look at the poll and you can chime in on that.
I mean, look. What happened?
Giles just got sent down.
That news came via Zhong Li, which I'm pretty
sure. There's breaking news, and that's something that people need to know because Barry said it, and it's exactly. There's no injury. That's just a great way to handle it because he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
And they let him off last year. They're not going to let him off now. Take your medicine and maybe try and while you're down there, learn something not only about your attitude and your demeanor, but like I said, develop your pitching a little bit more too so you're not just raw talent with a hot arm.
Yeah, that's the thing is you can't have a guy that continues to blow up like that on the field and then blow up at the manager. And that's why I was curious. What is his, how many, does he have options? Because it's not one of those things where you can't trade the guy right now. He's obviously a head case. He's obviously struggling. Send him down and make him get right. Make him ride the bus in AAA. It's exactly what I said in hour one. And I'm glad that the Astros are at least a smart enough organization where they're not like, well, we're just going to fix him up here and try to trade him. That's going to be difficult.
And that's what I said, because this is one of those things where he could. But here's the thing. If he doesn't get right and you don't address this and you just leave it alone, like that's why I said this was big on Hinch. Because as much as Hinch is like, he's a player's manager, but he's also a smart manager. We all know those things. But this is one of those things where you're on center stage now. How you handle this will go a long way to how your team is in terms of their continuity, togetherness. If they think you play favorites and all, because I've been on around plenty of teams where there's guys that can be an a-hole and they just go, oh, that's just him being him, and they let it go. That doesn't sit well in the locker room. So well done, Astros. That's well handled right there.
It'll be interesting to see who they call up. I know they just got Joe Smith back, and they lost Cole for bereavement leave for 3 days.
It was his grandmother, by the way.
Oh, they say grandfather.
I thought it was grandmother. I thought they said on the broadcast last night it was grandmother passed away.
I heard on the radio, maybe Robert Ford got it wrong, but when I was driving to Jive Bar to do the show, they said that he was gone for his
grandfather. One of his grandparents passed away.
Yeah. Right. But it'll be interesting to see who they bring up. I doubt it'll be Forrest Whitley, but there's plenty of arms down there.
He's hurt.
Did he get hurt again?
Remember, he got hurt in a start. They brought him to Houston to get diagnosed by the Astros doctors, and it's an oblique strain. So he is on the DL right now where they're obviously trying to rehab him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Did they mention who they called up? Because they usually will say when they call when Ken Giles gets sent down.
What's the lefty reliever that's in Double A that they think has a speed track to get into the majors before the end of the regular season?
There's a couple of good lefty.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd have to go look up their.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up for you too. But definitely someone that everybody said the Astros keep an eye on in terms of a guy that might be able to help them later in the year.
Because they have a couple of right-handed pitchers that are pretty high on their list.
I'm pretty sure he was a lefty. But
was it?
Yeah.
Regardless,
good move by the Astros. And then the question was, what's our
feelings on CNL Perez. That's who you're thinking about.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. That could be a guy that they bring up because they need some lefty help too.
And it gets some experience now.
No. CNL Perez.
Oh,
okay.
Boom, there you go.
So CNL Perez is the guy that got called up. Good call on that. Yeah. Because, I mean, they've got other guys like that they trust and Paulino who's been on the roster before. But it's good. Okay, so I'm good with that. Get a lefty up here, maybe get some help against lefties. Even though Tony Sipp has pitched well.
Yeah.
He didn't come in.
You can't knock him.
No.
As much as we knock him, his numbers are good this year.
It's funny, though. A couple days ago, left-hander at the plate, and instead of bringing in Sipp, they bring in Will Harris, which I thought was kind of interesting, especially given how well Tony Sipp has pitched this year.
Right.
But overall, I've seen people saying that this bullpen is a problem, and it's one or two guys. It's really not the bullpen.
It's not like it's not a big problem, but
it's not. I mean, their bullpen ERA is ridiculous.
Right, no, I'm saying, but again, it's what we talked about yesterday. It's just when you're a championship caliber team, you got to have trust at the very back end, and it's been depending on who you insert here, Giles, Rondon. You just have to have more trust that your closer is going to come in and slam the door shut.
So I wanted to pull up what happened to Die on Your Arms tonight. Don't be jipping me, man. Okay. All right. No, that's all good. So I pulled up like the pitching numbers and just sort by ERA. Okay. Just straight ERA. Of course, Ken Giles is the worst at a 4.99. Joe Smith at a 4.50. And then you've got Gu Duan, who was at a 4.50, but he just pitched in the one game. But Will Harris at a 4.13. And then after that, Brad Peacock with a 3, Tony Sipp with a 2.25. And everybody else has a 1 in that bullpen. Davinsky, Rondon, Colin McHugh, and James Hoyt all have 1s or 0s in their ERA.
So, James Hoyt's gone.
Yeah, but I'm saying at that time, I'm just looking like it just has everybody on there that's pitched out of the bullpen. So, I mean, you've really got two guys, really, in Giles and Joe Smith that have struggled this year. Everybody else has pitched pretty well.
People, like I said, Patrick Creighton always has Pepto-Bismol for Will Harris, but Will Harris was an all-star a year ago.
Yeah, and at a 4.13 ERA, he'll get that back down. I mean, he's had a bit of a rough go here and there. But he's pitched much better as of late. I was trying to look at his game log.
But it's just like we said about Peacock. Last year, he was everybody's darling because whether he started or did long relief, he got people out. He was super effective. And this year, he struggled.
Yeah.
So, all right, we can look some things up. We'll get back to some other things. Right now, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Been telling you about them for a long time. You can go to any of their three locations, which is Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. You can go to the Galleria area. You can go to I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which of the three locations you choose, you get the same customer service, the same quality care, and, of course, solid wood American-made furniture from brands like Stickley. They do leather furniture, upholstered furniture, and basically for every room of your house, if you need furniture, you're going to the right spot in Gallery Furniture because you're going to get great prices. You're going to get fantastic furniture. You're going to get unbelievable customer service. And at the end of the day, you're going to save money. They do what they need to do because they want you to be return customers, whether it's an end table or a coffee table for one of the rooms in your house, a nightstand, or a full-blown set of furniture for a complete room. They will take care of you and make sure you will want to come back for more because it's great furniture at a great price. And the other thing is there's no back order slips. If you buy today, you get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours. There's no waiting around weeks upon weeks to try and get the furniture that you saw on the showroom floor, but you somehow can't get into your living room. It's the way Gallery does business. Therefore, from the time of your purchase, within 3 to 4 hours, the delivery people will be at your door. They'll be delivering your new furniture, rearranging things if you need stuff done in other rooms of the house, and also taking away furniture you don't want or need anymore. Because, again, that's the way they want to treat Houstonians. You know how Mac does it in the community? He's involved in everything to try and help the people of Houston. He also wants to make sure that when you're involved in looking for new furniture, there's only one place to shop. And that's why what Mac says is what they do. Please believe me when I tell you, because I have a ton of Gallery furniture. Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, sports mappers and ESPNers. It's The Usual Suspects back on both 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We'll take you till 4, and then the Blitz will take you home till 7. You need not do a thing. On a way back Wednesday, Barry, hour number 3 of songs he'd play at his funeral pre-2008.
Probably his best song.
Hated this song, but it's a good song for this topic.
I would agree.
God, I hated this song.
Really?
I just...
Why?
I don't know. It's kind of like nails on a chalkboard. It's just one of those songs I was like, every time I heard it.
Okay.
I always felt like I crapped my pants. And to me, it was like, if I died in her arms tonight, I was giving a chick a hug and probably let one fly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What I was looking up for Will Harris, because somebody was like, Barry, Will Harris has not been good this year. It's kind of the same point I was making about Giles. So his ERA is at a 4.13. Mm-hmm. The problem with Will Harris, which is similar to the problem with what Giles is that it's not that he can, like in the month of June, he gave up 6 earned runs. 5 of those were in 2 games. So you can't just say, well, he's been bad because he pitched in, 12 games in the month of June, and in 2 of them he pitched bad? So that's not necessarily indicative. The ERA isn't necessarily indicative of what he's done overall. If he's going out and he's having a bad game here and there.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just...
Not every bullpen guy can be is a lights-out guy. You're going to have guys in there with a 2.5 ERA, a 3, a 4. Think about this bullpen last year and the ERAs that were there last year.
Here's a guy that's less than a year removed from being an all-star. That was really lights out for them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's something that he can't get back. I think for me, it just goes back to, and obviously it's a good mix here because you always have the numbers and they're very, you bring them and they're effective. And me, it's more just like the eye test, to me, it's that trust level with the bullpen.
My point is that people are saying this, that the Astros bullpen is a problem.
Right. No, and
it's not. It's Ken Giles and Joe Smith is the problem. If Will Harris's 4.13 ERA is the worst ERA in the bullpen after those two guys, this is a bullpen that has a 2.88 ERA. Do you know who? That's first in the majors. Mm-hmm. Do you know who second is? It's the Yankees with a 3.46.
So almost a full run?
This is not a bullpen issue. It's a guy issue. It's a one also, guy here and there issue. Stop.
As much as we give AJ credit, though, the one thing that I question, too, as I was saying to Nick in the break, good thing they didn't bring Joe Smith along slowly. Last night and the night before, he gets called on, boom, boom. And I'm like, and he wasn't exactly lights out the first time. Just like ease up on him. Just find spots where it's non-stressful situations. Just get him back in the mix. But, man. That one was, I was questioning that, but other than that, no, I feel you. I just think it's, for me, it's the trust level of saying, when we talked about the Yankees, the Red Sox, the teams that have, you know, world champion aspirations and a really solid team, you got to feel like when you turn the ball over, because the one thing I know, I mentioned to you guys earlier off air is, obviously Ken Giles wasn't available to the media last night, but the other guy that wasn't was Justin Verlander. And I was just curious if there was a little frustration in that because he left with a 4-run lead. He pitched his tail off. And for the third time in his last 4 starts, when he had a chance to get to 10 wins before the All-Star break, he gets out of the showers and gets done icing and turns on the TV in the clubhouse and goes, what the hell just happened? And now instead of pretty much a guaranteed win, he's looking at another no decision.
Yeah, but I don't know that you're going to be the guy, especially somebody like Verlander, who's going to be upset about that, because you know there's times where you've given up the runs and the bullpen's done their job and the losses directly on you. I don't think baseball players get into that. Like, even when you could go out and score 5 runs, right? And if the pitcher's given up 6, the guys at the plate aren't blaming whoever's on the mound, and the same thing from the bullpen, because I think that's a slippery slope. When you start blaming guys, then that's when you're going to make a mistake and lose the game. Look at Josh Reddick, for example.
Or Josh McCullers not getting mad at Yuli at first base that one day. But what I would say is, if it's only one time, I totally get it.
Yeah.
But you're not a competitive athlete if you're not a little frustrated if he's left 3 of his last 4 starts, I believe, with the lead. He had the
Is that the case?
Yeah, he had the one, as you mentioned, a kind of a stinker where he gave up the 4 runs.
Right.
But other than that, you know, because everybody has talked about, you know, all this staff having at least 3 or 4, you know, double-digit win guys before the All-Star break, he's had plenty of chances recently, and they've kind of fallen by the wayside. I wouldn't be upset with the fact that he felt a little extra frustration in the fact that he only gave up, I think, 3 hits, had a shutout going.
Oh, I think it's certainly frustrating, but it's probably more of a, well, you know, this is the best bullpen. I don't know why you'd go to that guy, but.
Now, he did tweet.
It is interesting that the guy that blew the game, that if that is the case, maybe they went to, maybe Verlander did have something to do with Ken Giles getting sent. I think it was more of how he handled getting pulled and the fact that he's really been struggling.
I totally agree with that, but I'm just saying, I don't blame Verlander if he gets a little frustrated. Now, the good news is at the end of the day, they got the win. But even if you check with his timeline, he wasn't available, nowhere to be found. But then all of a sudden, he kind of tweets out and goes, hey, what a great win. And he walks through the last play and he describes all these things. It's like almost to say, okay, I know and I wasn't there, but okay, I'm still with my team and I support them and I'm glad they got the win.
Yeah.
So just something to think about. Yeah. Brandon wants to get in here on the Astros real quick. So let's get him. Brandon, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up, man?
So, I had a couple things. I watched the whole game last night. I don't know how Alex Bregman keeps getting lucky on these blooper or crappy hits and just somebody does an error and he ends up getting a walk-off win, but I guess I'll take it.
So you're mad at the
Ken
guy?
Giles.
Okay.
I don't think it matters, no. I'm done with Ken Giles. It's fairly obvious what he said last night when he was getting pulled from the game. It's obvious who he said it to, and I really don't care what he comes out on Twitter and says or what he comes out to the media and says. You can't be hitting yourself and you can't be immature. You're literally in that role where you're supposed to be under the pressure all the time. That's what you were brought in here for. You were brought in here as 100 Miles Giles, and you're supposed to be blowing guys away. And you're supposed to be in one-run game. The games that I went to a game, and I got lucky because I got to see Gerrit Cole start the game. And then I got to see Colin McHugh and Ben Giles pitch the 8th, and Rondon came in and pitched the 9th. And there's a swagger that Colin McHugh walks with. And there's a swagger that Hector Rondon walks with. And I don't see it in Ken Giles. I don't see the confidence, and I don't see the guy that when he first came to Houston, he was walking with his head almost like Devo has that alpha male walk.
Yeah, he
there's a confidence. And
there's a bounce. There's a bounce in their step.
Right, and it's a 90% of women. What do you want a man? I want him confident. Well, 90% of a baseball player, I want him confident. I want a ball player that's going to come into the game and go, I got this. Don't worry about it, guys. I got this. I see that in JV. I see that in Garrett Cole. And I do agree, Barry. I disagree, Barry, because I think that it was Verlander going, hey, Ken, come on. We need to talk. Conversation needs to happen. And because, like you said, he can be fixed. He's young. He's, what, 24?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
He can be fixed. You committed to him. Much like the Keuchel situation. He can look at Dallas's last few starts. I think they've been pretty impressive. They're back to Dallas Keuchel, what we're used to seeing, one-run baseball. So just a couple thoughts, man. I just want to see some confidence out of these ball players. I want to see – I think if Giles could walk and talk and just say, look, man, I got this. You know what? I screwed up, but I'll bounce back. I got this. Think JV hasn't had some bad games?
Good stuff, Brandon.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. Really good points about that. Ken Giles, 27, by the way.
Okay. Well, we'll get to this. Responses after the break because we got to keep rolling along. But yeah, some stuff to get to there. Thanks to a good call from Brandon. I do want to tell you right now about the people at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for quite a while, and it's because it's people in the Houston area helping out kids in Houston trying to get a second chance at an education. It's a great program, and it stays all right here locally. If you are able to donate, I always encourage you to do so. It might be because you lost a vehicle in the hurricane, whether it was insured or not. You just got to get rid of it now, and you don't want to pay extra money to pay for a towing company to come and get it, to take it off your property. You don't have to. All you do is pick up the phone. You call 713-225-4226. You log on to Houston Cars for Kids. You tell them what you got. It could be a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a car, whatever, a trailer. If it's working, if it's not, it doesn't matter. You just call them. You reach out to them. They're going to ask you where you live, what you got, come to you with a tow truck, take it away, do the paperwork, give you a nice tax deduction. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. That's where the process really begins because those donations are turned into resources for kids trying to hit the books. And sometimes those things that they don't have become distractions and keep them from concentrating on their studies. Your donations turn into warm meals, book money, eyeglasses, even bus fare so they can get to school. It's all the things that take away distractions so the kids can focus on getting that degree. It's a great program. 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. As you know, we play the name game each and every day right here on ESPN 97.5. And SportsMap 94.1 when we're simulcasting. And today, if you don't know what the name game is, by the way, it's where we pick two names and we call them out. And if it's your name and you're the first caller to the station, then you win that day's prize. And the name game winners are moved around from show to show. Unfortunately, we're not the show giving it away today. And what I mean by giving it away is a $50 gift certificate to Fresh Lawn. If you need the best lawn service, then call Fresh Lawn. 1-800-896-5320. Anyone who calls, tell them you heard about it on ESPN 97.5, and you'll get 10% off your first lawn service. They have Twitter accounts, Facebook, and Instagram. If you need more information, that's Fresh Lawn. Unfortunately, like I said, we're not giving away that $50 gift certificate to Fresh Lawn. That was John and Raheel with Dale, and the winner was Corey. So congratulations to Corey.
Hope she had a good time.
Just keep stoking that flame.
You know. You want to respond
to
the caller before the break?
Hell, I forgot what he said.
You know, he's done with Giles.
Yeah, I think everybody is. And you know if I'm done with Giles. I've been the Giles apologist and defender for weeks now. And last night it was like, nah, bro, you just can't keep doing this. There's a point where it becomes inexcusable and indefensible. And I think last night was that tipping point.
Agreed.
For me. If he would have came in and got that save, I was going to come in and be like, hey, look at that. Isn't that great? But he didn't, and that's I'm not going to sit here and just try to beat, you know, beat that drum when it doesn't make sense to, and it doesn't make sense to anymore.
Yeah, and you know the other thing too is, because I agree with everything you said, and the other thing I would say too is if this team was a middle of the road team, if this was the Tigers, then I don't mind still throwing him out there in terms of on the field performance. But when you add insult to injury and do what you did and disrespect your manager,
that's
and,
the big
and everything
thing.
Like that.
That's what I think more than the performance, that's what got him sent down.
No question. I totally agree with that. That's what got him sent down. But at the same time, too, with a team this caliber, you got to have a guy that you believe and have the trust and confidence. And when they come in, it's over.
But think about this. So you've got guys that can close on this team. You've got guys with closer experience. Mm-hmm. Will Harris was the closer of this team at one point. Rondon was the closer at some point. Joe Smith has experience. Davinsky has had the role. Yep. So Peacock and McHugh pitched in relief in the World Series. So you've got guys that have that experience on this team. It's not like you couldn't have had Giles' role move to middle relief. And middle relief is just a guy that if it's 8-2 or if it's a blowout, then he goes out and he pitches.
Or your pen worked real hard the night before, just soaks
exactly.
some innings.
Exactly. So you can fix that guy up at the major league level by just using him in the most lowest of low leverage situations until he gets right. What this move is more about the what he did walking off the mound than anything. Because if you're going to get a guy to be your closer again, then he needs to get right at the major league level. Because you can go down to AAA and blow everybody away with that fastball, and your numbers look great. But are you really learning and getting better at pitching in the majors?
Let's
and this has nothing
honest.
To do with I think this is all about what he did to A.J. Hinch and nothing about his performance because he could just been hidden in the back of the bullpen.
Well, let's also be honest. If you're the Red Sox, if you're the Yankees, and you lose confidence in your closer during the most important time of the year, they're going to move on the following year for the most part. They just don't have that kind of time and patience to wait. He got a second chance. And though he was frustrated that he lost that closer role earlier, they never really gave it back to him 100%, he hasn't really earned it either. But at least they're rolling with you, right? They're staying in your corner. The guys even said it. They were supportive of him. But on something like this, I think that's, like you said, you drew the line in the sand and that you kicked right through it. It's over, for at least for now. Maybe you can get right.
We're not going to talk to A.J. Hinch like that.
No. All right. You want to get some calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Kevin's been waiting a while. He wants baseball and golf on the agenda. What's up?
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, what do you think the relevant – oh, by the way, I love your show, guys.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
I was just wondering what the relevancy is between the catcher and the pitcher and, let's say, a caddy and a golfer. Because the catcher is trying to tell him what to throw, but the pitcher gets a little frustrated and maybe keeps waving it off and wants to throw something else. And like in golf, the caddy says, look, you need to play this shot. This is what you need to, you know, hit it. I'm just wondering, what's the relevance there?
Well, I think it's a good comparison in many ways, and I think it also depends on the role of the pitcher. If it's a guy like Justin Verlander, he's going to sit down with Max Stassi, and they're going to go over a game plan for every hitter that they're going to face and probably even go through, all right, early in the game, the first time through the order, this is the game plan, this is how I want to pitch these guys, and Max Stassi's going to offer up his advice. But I think in that case, a lot of times, if you're Max Stassi and you're catching Justin Verlander, you pretty much do whatever he wants. But the younger guys or a Brian McCann, they may work on that game plan together. When you get bullpen guys, I think it's a little more that they're relying on the catcher to have a game plan for the hitters in the game and in those situations. So if you see a guy in a bullpen shake a catcher off, it may be because he's not comfortable with throwing something. But a lot of those guys, the game plan, the pitching game plan is usually between the starter and the catcher. So when it's bullpen time, the catcher is usually the guy that's going to throw out the signs based on the hitter and the situation.
Yeah, and unlike in golf, where at the end of the day, the caddy can give his recommendation, the golfer is going to hit what he wants to hit. In the case of when Barry says Verlander, at the end of the day, between A.J. Hinch, who's a former catcher who calls a lot of pitches with certain pitchers, and or Brian McCann or other catchers, there's no one that's going to argue with Justin Verlander if he knows that this is what he wants to throw. But at the same time, if you bring a younger pitcher in and they don't have that kind of experience and resume that Verlander has, that's where you feel the importance of a McCann that can calm them down and that they can and has been catching every pitch to know, hey, his curveball's on tonight. I'm going to that pitch because that's his go-to as opposed to a guy, even if he throws hard. Or Hinch can say, hey, I know what we've done against this hitter in the past. stick to this, even if you're not in the zone with it, a lot of times he'll chase it. So it's, yeah, the dynamics are different based on the situation and the hitter and the actual pitcher's resume and where they've been. But it's, I can see the similarities.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you know, the caddy and the golfer, they actually go out and get the practice on the course where you don't get to see these guys every day as hitters. But you're right. They have to look at the film, right?
Yep. That's pretty much it. And don't forget too, Kevin, and we appreciate the call, Kevin. Thank you. Don't forget too that catcher has been in the game for the entire time and has seen the previous two or three plate appearances by the guy. So, oh yeah, he's been chasing the slider away all three at bats. And, you know, he's two strikeouts and a ground out. So we're definitely going to, that's the out pitch for this guy, is slider away. So let's bust him up and in, slider away. And usually the pitchers that are coming into the game in relief are going to also rely on the catcher for that as well. Because I don't think they're in the bullpen charting pitches. That's usually the next day starter.
Right, exactly.
Is charting the pitches. So it's not like they're in the bullpen going, okay, all right, that was a slider away. I got to mark that away in case I go in the game. They're just relying on Stassi or...
Well, and in today's day and age with technology,
yeah,
in the bullpen there's iPads. In the clubhouse there's iPads. You know, A.J. Hinch and Brent Strom have notebooks full of tendencies and stats and everything else on hitters and pitchers and everything else. So they've got everything they need right in front of them.
This is a great funeral song.
I cannot believe you put Two Live Crew,
Pop That Coochie,
on your funeral list.
Why?
Completely inappropriate.
It's the perfect song for a funeral because no one's expecting it. Everyone's sitting there singing hymnals and songs and all of a sudden... Pop That Coochie.
What would your family think if they were playing?
Exactly.
That?
They would go, yep, typical Barry. And everyone would get a good laugh out of it, except my mom. She'd be like, I can't believe this idiot.
Why stop there? Why not go all the way to, hey, we want some...
I mean, that can't be played on the radio. So I had to go... I was going to play Doo-Doo
Brown.
What,
there's no clean version of that?
I wanted Doo-Doo Brown, so I just went with Pop That Coochie.
Okay.
So, hey guys, right now I want to tell you about Stillhouse Poker Club. It's the place that had the largest opening weekend tournament in the history of Texas. They are back, bigger and better than ever. Remember now, I want to remind you before I tell you about this upcoming tournament, let me tell you a little bit about the first tournament. It was a $100,000 guaranteed opening weekend tournament. The prize pool ended up ballooning to almost $250,000. So keep that in mind when I tell you that Stillhouse Poker Club is back with a bigger and better tournament. It's the $500,000 guaranteed tournament, and it goes down in October. And I can't wait for this. It's going to be fun because I was at that opening weekend tournament, and I had an absolute blast playing in that tournament at Stillhouse Poker Club. The staff there is amazing. Super great people. That from the time you walk into the door to where you're sitting at the tables to the ladies that bring you drinks or mixers or whatever it is that you need, everybody's great that works there, and it's a great place, man. They've got 20 tables. They've got TVs everywhere, so you can watch the games. I was watching the Astros game while I'm playing in a poker tournament. Life doesn't get much better than that unless you go on Friday lingerie night, and that's the only way to make it better, but it's great. They've got, like, taco trucks and different food service trucks out there. They've got mixers for your drinks because it's BYOB, so you can bring your own drinks if you want to, but they do have stuff that they can offer you. Just if you want to get your drink on, I suggest you bring it yourself. Like I said, though, everybody's friendly. The tournaments are great. They give away a ton of money every week. $75,000 guaranteed Monday through Sunday. They even have single-day tournaments you can play in except on Saturdays. So if you're a poker fan, whether you're just starting out or you've been playing forever, it's a great place to go and either get some, you know, some better experience or learn how to play if you're new to poker itself. It's Stillhouse Poker Club. They're online at stillhousepoker.com. Make sure you get on there and check out that $500,000 tournament that's coming up. The best way to get in is the daily cash games. Get in those daily cash games. And for more information, check out steelhousepoker.com.
Hey, back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Barry, Nick, Joel on a way back Wednesday. Appreciate your patronage and checking in with us, staying tuned to us, and being hopefully entertained by us till we take you till 4. Blitz will take you home till 7. Been a fun show today. As we continue to roll, go right ahead.
I'm starting to get pictures, like Crystal Collins just tweeted me a picture that her shirt came in. The Welcome to the Land Where It Just Don't Stop shirts that I had made. And you can still order those if you want. I think I have them up through the end of the month.
I saw someone tweet that they got there.
Yeah. They look like they're... I was a little concerned about like print quality because it's out of my control. And I'm using Teespring. But I've ordered shirts from Teespring before. So they did a good job. So I was hoping that, again, that the quality was going to be good. But everybody that's ordered them so far is... apparently liked them. So if you want, like, yeah, I guess you can just go find them on my Twitter, my Instagram, at Barry is Funny. That's the easy way to do it. Somebody sent me this Instagram post from KD and
Kevin Durant, KD?
Yeah, it says it was the Beer King 2 on Instagram. So somebody tweeted or I guess messaged KD. It was Buckets Center. And they said, three elite two-way players, but don't elevate a team quite like LeBron and Steph do to their playmaking leadership deficiencies. And it's a picture of Kawhi, Anthony Davis, and Kevin Durant. And I guess they tagged Durant on this because Kevin Durant responds and says, bro, go sweep your dorm room. You don't know hoops. Stop tagging me in this trash.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it got deep, and there's a lot more to it. But I thought, ooh,
he's changed a lot.
He's really embracing the role as the bad guy,
the villain. Yeah, for sure. So we're running short on time. Last segment, don't want to have anybody fall by the wayside. So Patrick, you want to get in here, talk a little Rockets before we get out? What's up?
Hey guys, what's going on? Good to hear you again. So I'm curious. Like I called once, I think earlier in the week. Talking about Daryl Morey, and I still have the same questions. I mean, he lets the people go that have left, Emba Mute mainly, is who I'm concerned about. And they could have paid them, and then you're going to, you know, your discussions with Carmelo Anthony. Well, can't you just, there's plenty of other guys out there, too, I'm thinking of specifically, that you could sign and I think make better sense for your team and your scheme and the chemistry in the locker room than Carmelo, and you can pay those two guys right around probably the same amount you're going to pay Carmelo. And then you would have more money, possibly, to sign Capella to what he's asking for.
Patrick, who are the two guys you're thinking about real quick?
I'm thinking about Jamal Crawford and Marco Bellinelli.
Bellinelli's already signed with the Spurs. Crawford's still out there.
Yeah, Crawford's still available.
Yeah, but we appreciate
the call. But he's a 38-year-old shooting guard.
Yeah,
do you need another shooting guard on the team? I don't know that that's – I mean, right now you have a deficiency at small forward. You have a guy in P.J. Tucker that could play the three if you need him to. He can play the four. But you just lost both of your small forwards.
Here's where I'm going with this. It's exactly what you brought up the other day. It's what we both are on the same page with. That is, you're missing the fact that you lost two – one half, if you go with your theory the other day, but two of your best on-ball defenders, two of the guys that helped you obtain and attain a top five ranking in, on the defensive side of the basketball, and you've let those guys walk away. Carmelo Anthony, I'm not worried about chemistry. He's one of Chris Paul's best friends. They're all going to get along, but he doesn't bring anything to the table defensively. He never has in his career. He's not about to start now, let alone that in Oklahoma City, he didn't want to come off the bench, and he and Mike D'Antoni butted heads so bad in New York that Mike D'Antoni quit. Now, I'm hearing good things that they had a sit-down conversation. D'Antoni thinks it'll be different this time. Good for them. Hopefully, he can right the ship from what was a very, very forgetful last year in Oklahoma City. But you're still not addressing what needs to be addressed the most. That is that defensive side of the ball. Barry and I both said, P.J. Tucker's a great fill-in for Trevor to start at the three, but he takes away what was versatility where he could play the 3-4-5. He, you know, you had guys coming off the bench that could take multiple roles. Now one of your key players that plays multiple roles is going to be a little more tired because he's going to be guarding smaller guys playing a different role, although he did start late in the year, and it shortens your rotation of guys that you've been able to go to and your depth on your team. So that's where I would go with it.
A couple of names at the top of the list, I think, if you're trying to fill in a small forward role, Richard Jefferson. Mm-hmm. I know he's older, but at least he brings you some experience. Mm-hmm. Michael Beasley.
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that.
You wouldn't be happy. I thought Beasley played well.
I thought
he played well here,
but I think he's not happy that the fact that they turned their back and crapped on him for someone else when he thought he had proven himself coming from China to make a spot here and they let him go.
So there's Amari Johnson, Shabazz Muhammad. Any of those do anything for you?
Shabazz Muhammad late in the year in Milwaukee showed that he. A lot of people were calling him a poor man's James Harden. I wouldn't go that far. but he showed from all the promise he had coming in that he failed to live up to, that he could be a player in this league. He's athletic. He's stronger. If he wants to play defense, it's not a bad, cheap pickup.
That's what I was going to say, though. That's the question is, can those guys defend? Because that's kind
that's
of what
big.
You need.
That's the yeah. big thing.
What were you going to say, Nick? I'm sorry. I cut you off.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember what I was going
to
say.
That's honestly. My bad. So I pulled up the forwards that are still available to be signed. And at the top of that list is you got a 35-year-old Channing Frye. You got like Jabari Parker.
Who's going to cost way too much.
Yeah. And then, I mean, guys like David West, I guess.
Old.
But he's old. He's 37.
Not a three either.
Nick Collison. No, I'm saying these are power forwards.
Oh.
Yeah, these are power forwards. But there's just not a lot of, I mean, the Rockets kind of.
The guy that I like out. The most, but he's restricted, and again, I don't think you're going to afford him, but if Cleveland really wants to just clean house and start over, Rodney Hood's a guy that's athletic, he's young, he can play on the offensive end, but he's athletic enough to play the three for you and defend if he wants to. There's a guy that one of the guys on the 8 to 10 that I put out there that are seven of which are already snapped up.
Yeah.
But there's a guy that's out there. I just think
there's not a lot of sexy names left. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you what. Talk about the Gerritol Club. But if you're looking at Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson, and David West, yeah. I'll pass on all three.
Yeah.
And I'll try and stick with the kid from USC they drafted in the second round that looks really, really good right now. But again, he looks really good on a team like the Bulls. But does he look good being a rotational player in a championship caliber team?
No.
I don't think so either.
By the way, shout out to Chris Householder. Dude, I saw your text, but we didn't have time to get to it, so I apologize.
Okay. Shout out to Chris always.
You like this death metal? What is this called?
Doesn't matter. I already won.
Oh, shut up.
Back to back.
There was an actual poll?
Pity vote. That's all it was. Pity vote.
But
what is this called? What did I call
you
this?
You did that, though.
Pungent stench.
Every time.
Yeah, pungent stench. I love this, man. I love
every time you pick at
music.
Him, he gets the petty vote.
Pungent stench is so amazing. He does get the pity vote. You're right.
Petty, pity, whatever.
Same thing.
Okay. All right, we appreciate you listening. You don't have to do anything. The Blitz is going to take you home until 7 o'clock. We'll be back right here, same place, same time tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m. It's the usual suspects. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.